fire.
Hi, Jim.
The one I want to make the announcement about is I brought some archives from the office in St. Paul. And please get over and look at those. There's the picture on the window there is the visit that the Calyx group had to Rome with Paul VI when we got the blessing about the Calyx Society there. I always screwed the date up. I think it was 1974. But do look at that. We keep that in the office there. And there's some other archival stuff. There's a picture of Mandel with script in the church for your worship. So go over and look at that stuff there. So Ken's got such a wonderful set of stuff over here too. But that's really worth spending some time doing that. So now I'll let Ken get the official thing going.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning, everyone. And I trust everybody got a decent night's sleep, comfy beds. It's so much nicer down here than it is up top, man. I'll tell you what, if I can get my retreat group trimmed down to 250 to 100, we can start coming down here. I think we got a great program set up for you in the next day and a half, the next 2.5 days for those from out of town that want to spend some time with us tomorrow afternoon. And even into Monday. But none of this could have happened without some help from a lot of the folks in the Philadelphia area. Amy and I guess when we were asked to put this on, it was probably before last year's convention in Omaha. I think we started talking about Philly when we were in St. Paul 2 years ago, when they decided rather than go every other year to St. Paul, like, why don't we go to Philadelphia? And but really, you sit there and 2 years is a long time. We got plenty of time. And, you know, last year it's like, oh, we got a year. We got plenty of time. And I got up this morning and realized I got to make a couple phone calls after this to make sure we have some stuff here tonight that's not taken care of yet. But we leave it to the Holy Spirit. God has really worked through a lot of people in the Philadelphia area. It's real clear to me how the Holy Spirit works through Calyx. And through the individuals that God put in my life when we wanted to get Calyx started here in Philadelphia. And so we can't take all the credit. And then if anything goes wrong, we're not going to take the blame either. You know? If anything goes wrong, you can blame the Holy Spirit. He didn't prompt us correctly. So really, I want to thank Amy. She's been a godsend to me for the last 4 years. When I was in the Church Ministry Institute, which was a 3-year program put on by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia for people, lay people that are in ministry. When I got there, I was already a lector. I was already an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. I was taking communion to the homebound. I was running a Bible study in my parish. But I wanted to learn more about my Catholic faith, and I looked at the permanent diaconate, and at the time, my youngest kids were 3 and 1, so that was out. And I talked to a priest in our parish about wanting to do something more formally with my Catholic faith, and it was recommended to me to go to this Church Ministry Institute. And unbeknownst to me, in the second year of this program, you have to do a project. And I was battling with the people. I'm not doing anything else. I don't have any more time. There's nothing more I can do. And they say, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And I started praying, and it kept coming to me that we had to do something for Catholics in recovery. I was probably 12 years sober at the time and got tired of sitting in AA rooms, hearing my Catholic faith bashed. And then on top of that, seeing like 75% of the speakers, when they would start their lead, would say, you know, my name's such and such, and I was born, you know, and I'm an alcoholic, and I was born and raised Catholic. And it's like, you have such an arsenal of tools in your pocket. You don't know what you have that would enhance your sobriety, because then they wouldn't talk about going to Mass or the sacraments or any of that kind of stuff. So it kept coming to me in prayer that I had to do something for Catholics in recovery. And I started down this path of creating my own program. And there was an article I found on the internet by a Canadian priest, and I have not been able to find it again till this day, where he said that Catholics should not go to AA, and he based his whole premise on one line in the big book, and it was, "We are not saints. We practice spiritual progress, not spiritual for perfection. We are not saints." And Ken's program was going to be, "We are not saints, ... yet." Because we all know as Catholics, and if there's any non-Catholics here, you've probably heard it, that as Catholics we prescribe to be saints. Eventually, we're all going to be saints if we go to heaven. Some the church formally canonizes and claims that their lives were exemplary enough to make them official saints, but our goal, everybody in this room, our goal is to one day be a saint. So that was going to be my program. We are not saints, dot, 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 yet. And I went to my pastor because I had to have his approval to do the project. And I saw Monsignor Flood in the back of church one Sunday morning and said to him, Monsignor, I've come up with my project and I'm going to start a program for Catholics in recovery. And he said, Ken, that's a great idea, but that's not what I want you to do. I want you to help me implement the neocatechumenate in our parish. I had no idea what it was. And again, I left it to the Holy Spirit. If that's really what you want me to do, Monsignor, that's what we'll do. And we started down that path for about 6 weeks. And I saw Monsignor Flood in the back of church again. And he said, Ken, I talked to a Maranol missionary friend of mine. And he told me if I implement the neocatechumenate in my parish, and we have a good parish here, that it's going to have the opposite effect of what I want. It's going to create division and cliques and that kind of stuff. I don't want to go down that path anymore. Why don't you go ahead and do whatever you want to do? So I had shut down everything that I was planning. And I went back to find that article on the internet. And instead of finding that article, I found the Calix website. And that was in probably September of 2007. I talked to Jim a couple times on the telephone. He put me in touch with the gentleman who is sorely missed this year, Joe McGurran over in Camden. He's not that far away, but I haven't heard from Joe in over a year. But I went over to a Calix meeting and met with Joe. And within 4 months, we had an underground Calix meeting going in Philadelphia. Underground because the first group in each diocese has to get the permission of the bishop. And I sent a letter to Cardinal Regali, who will be here to celebrate Mass with us tomorrow morning. And he delegated to Bishop McGinnis. Bishop McGinnis apparently got my letter and claims to have tried to call me about a month later. I didn't get any message. And but Monsignor Flood said, you could be waiting forever to get that letter. What you're doing is too good. Why don't you start with my authority, and when we get the letter, we get the letter. And so we started that first meeting, January 2007. We got permission from the bishop that June. It was only about 6 months that we had the underground Calix meeting. And we've just been growing since. God has sent people in our lives. He sent wonderful priests to us, two of which you're going to hear from over the course of the weekend. And it's just really blossomed here in Philadelphia. We're really privileged to have all of you here. It's no doubt in my mind that that's how God works. That it's He put people in my put Calix in my mind, put people in my life. And one of the things I meant to say in that story was, Amy had been to Calix in Pittsburgh, and when she moved to the Philadelphia area, I guess she had let Jim know that if anybody wants to start Calix in Philadelphia, let me know. And so Amy was there from the very beginning. It was the two of us, along with a core group of guys that I had been telling about my Catholics in Recovery program, that were there when we got started. So 4 years later, four Calix units later in Philadelphia, and here we are. There's also one person notably not here, and that's Elaine. Everybody that got emails or when we were doing the registration process, everything said mail it to Elaine. I promise you that Elaine really does exist. We didn't have we didn't make her up so that if there were problems, we could blame it on Elaine, who's not here. Unfortunately, she had a wedding to go to this weekend, and we're hoping at some point over the course of the weekend she's going to get here. But Elaine was the one that compiled all the spreadsheets and let us know who we had to pick up where and what have you. So, and along with that, it was the folks at Glenside and Grace Ferry and Media and Collegeville that all gave us input, things that we should do and shouldn't do and what have you. So I want to thank all the people from Philadelphia that have helped us to put this on. A couple of housekeeping matters. When you checked in, you may or may not have seen there were two sign-up sheets on the table. One is for Grace Ferry tomorrow afternoon, and when I introduce Father McKay tonight, we'll talk a little bit more about Grace Ferry. But it's a pretty neat spot. It's an old Irish Catholic neighborhood in South Philadelphia that's just really decimated with alcohol and drugs. We've had four Calix members die in the 3+ years we've been down there. Not from going out, not from overdoses, not from from drinking. It's the complications from things that they had done prior to getting sober and cleaned up. So that happens. But we have a real neat center that we opened up down there. And anybody that's from out of town, or even if you're in town, the plan is to, when we're done here tomorrow around noontime, is to head down to Grace Ferry. The reason we want you to sign up is we need a head count for food. We're going to provide a lunch down there for anybody that joins us. We'll hang out in Grace Ferry for a while, and then people that are staying over here again tomorrow night, not leaving till Monday, we'll take care of you, getting you back and forth and make sure you got enough food and what have you. Stay here. I'm sorry?
Bring your gun and knife.
Bring your gun and knife. Nah, it's not that bad. Every 10 minutes since we got here, Father McKay keeps saying we're not in Grace Ferry anymore, Toto.
Just stand by me, I got you.
So if you're planning on going down to Grace Ferry, when we're done here after this talk, if there's anybody that hasn't signed up yet that wants to sign up, let me know. Then we can call Mary down there and give her a rough idea of how many folks we need to prepare food for. The other sign-up sheet that's out there is for Monday. It's pretty neat this weekend because Adrian is here from London, England. And Adrian's actually staying on until Friday. And I know Laura, who's here from San Diego, is staying on until Tuesday. So what we said was that on Monday, Amy and I are going to, we'll get people that need to get to the airport Monday morning to the airport, and then we'll rally somewhere in Center City and we'll give you a little walking tour. It started out for Adrian just to show him a couple places, and then he can decide where he wants to go later on in the week from that. And then we'll probably grab dinner somewhere in Center City as well. So the reason we want sign-ups for that is so we know how many to make reservations for on Monday night. So if you're going to be around Monday, get that sign-up sheet as well. The other thing is we are wearing recorders. All the talks are going to be recorded. And if you agree to sign up now to buy them, they're $20. On Monday, the price on the website will go up to $25. If you want to do it real quick, because if these guys aren't that good, the prices may have to go down. So we'd appreciate it if you pay now. Jim mentioned that he brought this great set of archival materials from the Calix Society over here. What I started collecting, and happening upon things on eBay. Things like first editions of Father Fowle's books that were signed. So they're over there, Sobriety and Beyond, Sobriety Without End, and The Prodigal Shepherd. I also found copies of the 1958 Look magazines. When the book first came out, they did a two-part series on his book. That's over there. Grapevine articles. Like, it's neat to go back and see the articles that Bill Wilson actually wrote about Father Ed Dowling and Sister Ignatia. So those old grapevines are over there. So feel free to take a look at them. The books that Jim brought, some of them there's only one copy of. If you want that copy, I don't know, scribble your name on the inside of the cover. Believe it there until tomorrow so other people can see what's there and get an idea that the resources available out in Minnesota. And then Jim will, if you can either place an order here or order online, and he'll get them to you. Also, Don Costello came in last night. The poor guy got to the train station, and I thought he was renting a car. And here he walked from the train station in Malvern to get here and was wandering around the grounds. And finally found it. So it's great to have Don here, but he also brought, probably looks like 15 or 20 copies of the little book that his wife Mary Costello wrote about Matt Talbot. So they're over there. So the one thing I would say is that if you want the Matt Talbot book, they're $8 a piece, and that $8 goes directly to Don. If you want any of the other books, if there's only one copy, put your name in it, leave it there until tomorrow, and then pay Jim. Okay, so it's either pay Jim for everything except for the Mary Costello book.
I forgot one thing.
Yeah.
I've got some the May, June tells to put out, but it has the prices in there, and those actually would be the prices you pay here.
Okay.
We've just jumped the prices because of hosting. I mean,
yeah.
And so the price you pay is a little cheaper than that.
Yeah, what we found was with the literature orders that were going to Minnesota, all the prices were postage paid, and with increases in postage over the years, we were finding that we were actually losing money So a couple of, I think it was about a half dozen books or seven books, we bumped up by $2 a piece. And your board is going to continue to look for alternatives to find a way to get its literature at a reasonable cost, cheaper than you'd get it if you went to Barnes & Noble or Borders or one of the book chains.